camera.
Here we go.
Okay. Welcome to BPV Knows. Today, BPV Knows SOC audits. Our expert is Steve News, who's one of the directors in our consulting practice and a very experienced provider of SOC audits. So Steve, let's start with the big question. Tell us, what is a SOC audit?
SOC audit is a service organization controls report. In other words, companies have a lot of internal controls and processes that they utilize to either deliver services or products. And instead of a typical audit that would look at the numbers and validate the numbers, we look at the processes and the controls and validate the respective controls that they're operating the way they were intended to.
Best explanation I've ever heard of this very complicated area. But it does get a little more complicated than that, right? Because there's different levels of SOC audits that you can do and different types of SOC audits.
That's true. There's a SOC 1, a SOC 2, and a SOC 3, you know, to deliver it on a high level basis. SOC 1 deals with information that is financially oriented, but again, you have specific controls that ensure that the financial information that's provided is correct. So even my audit colleagues at BPV are interested in companies that have SOC audits because they can then rely on that respective report to know that the information's at least processed correctly. You still have to validate the genuality of the information, but you don't have to re-engineer the process. Then a SOC 2 report is more IT, information technology oriented, a lot of IT controls. You know and understand how something gets into the black box and you get a product coming out of the black box, but you don't know what happens inside the black box. And a SOC 2 report actually goes through and defines exactly what we're going to do and how we're going to do it, and then lets you know what the results were. And it deals with things like security, availability, processing integrity, confidentiality, and privacy. So those are the five cornerstones of a SOC 2 report. And companies are very interested in knowing what type of control objectives do you have? And that's an overall arching theme of, here's what I'm going to provide for you and how I'm going to deliver it. But then the real meat and potatoes comes in with respect to what controls. I may need to test three controls to ensure that objective is covered. I may have to do a half a dozen, and in some cases, 10 or more controls. But the strategy is to do the least number of controls to ensure that the control objective is achieved. And then certainly there's a SOC 3. And really the simplest answer for that is it's more like a marketing report. It encompasses the technical aspects of a SOC 1 and a SOC 2, but instead of you showing the world your SOC audit report from a marketing perspective, you might want to show them what you do, you know, in what areas you cover, you know, so it's used more like a marketing report. An example would be ADP. You know, they process all types of companies' payrolls, and it can be a significant dollar amount, you know, expense that's incurred for them. So it's very important to know that all the information that is sent to ADP is utilized in a manner that it should be, and that it's properly calculated so that you know your payroll when it goes out every Friday is absolutely correct. And so you can rely on ADP's SOC report to know that ADP is doing what they said they would do and that they're actually following through with it.
So is this only for very large publicly traded companies like an ADP?
No, actually I used ADP because that's the concept of everybody knows and understands payroll. Everybody mm-hmm. wants to have payroll. I just use that as an example. Amazon may be another, is another big provider out there, mostly for storage. You know, when you say, oh, we keep our files and records in the cloud, that's the Amazon cloud. And therefore, if Amazon's keeping all that information, how do we know that it's protected, that there's privacy issues, that nobody can get into that and see that information? So people get a comfort level that Amazon has had a SOC 1 and a SOC 2 audit, you know, to ensure that the public can rely on the processes and the controls that they have in place.
But smaller companies or privately held companies can benefit
yes.
from these.
Smaller
as well?
Companies and privately held companies, you know, can benefit from it, especially as it relates to if you're IT centric. In other words, data analytics and artificial intelligence. You start to hear a lot of discussion about that in the business world, and that's very important. But a lot of times, people don't really know and understand how to evaluate it or analyze the controls and the processes, especially when you get to things like security, availability, you know, the processing integrity and privacy aspects of it, which are the cornerstone aspects for a SOC 2.
How long does it take to conduct one of these studies?
It's really done, there's two types of SOC reports. You know, in other words, there is a SOC 1, 2, and 3, but then there's a SOC 1 type 1 and a type 2. A type 1 looks at the controls at a specific point in time and validates it. A SOC 2 looks at it over a period of time. And that's usually the preferred method, is that you get a type 2 SOC report so that you can cover a specific period. Some companies cover a calendar period. Some companies do them like ADP. They do a SOC report every quarter. So they have four audits a year just with respect to this, because it's so important for the public to be comfortable that ADP's controls are working the way they're supposed to, so that the pay on a Friday afternoon is correct for everybody.
Yeah, because they're dealing with such sensitive information.
Very much
and,
so.
And they use it every week. Okay. When does a client usually call you to explore doing a SOC audit? Is there a trigger event, or does their bank require it, or their
well, some companies just take them? Yeah, some companies take the initiative to, you know, it's a strong marketing tool to say that our processes and controls, especially from an information technology standpoint, have been audited by a third party, and I have an audit report that confirms, you know, the quality of our processes. That's a big deal. And so companies can be very interested in wanting to be able to provide a SOC audit to increase their credibility, you know, in the market space.
In our firm, because of your experience, and I assume some tests that you've taken or some benchmarks you've received, do we have some sort of accreditation, or do you have accreditation? Is there some, this doesn't seem like the kind of thing you could just go to any accounting firm and ask them to help you with.
That's true. The SOC standards are drafted by the American Institute of CPAs, and the AICPA does have a program that you can attend, a training type certification course that you complete over a 3-day period of time. It's not a 3-day exam. You just take it in stages, you know, over a period of time. But that then allows you to show that you are certified. And even on our website, we have the SOC logo that confirms that the firm is actually registered to be able to provide SOC audits. It's not as strict as, say, the CPA license, but there is accreditation and certification with respect to that SOC logo, as well as you as a company. Once you've completed your SOC audit, you then don't necessarily have to share the SOC audit with the world, but you get to put the SOC logo on your website. So you can look on a company's website to see if they have a SOC logo that certifies that they have had SOC audits and that they've passed the SOC audit.
That's a level of comfort for the people that are buying.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
So when you get a new client in, what is the first thing that you do? How do you kick off one of these engagements?
I spend time talking with the CFO, the COO, and the CIO, certified, chief information officer. Yeah. And they are the ones that really will drive the process. The CFO is going to know the financial controls that are important. The CIO obviously is going to know and understand all of the IT controls that are important. And then the COO knows and understands the operations as a whole. So we will sit down with the three of them, you know, and talk through their business, make sure that I have an understanding of it more so than just by looking it up on the website, that I understand their business processes and what their objectives are, you know, and then what level of internal controls do they have as an organization? You know, some are more, you know, control centric and others, you know, don't really, you know, focus on controls. An example would be a bank reconciliation. Do you do a bank reconciliation on a monthly basis? You know, and if that's a no, yeah, that's kind of a red flag. You know, it's like, okay, controls aren't real important if you're not doing something as basic as a bank reconciliation.
Okay. Well, thank you, Steve, for explaining this topic to us. It seems like it could be very complex, but that's why we have experts here at the firm, and they can untangle these situations and put our clients in a better position to focus on their core competencies and to sell their products to people that want to buy them. So thank you all for joining us today. As always, if you have any questions or topics you'd like us to cover, you can contact us by email at bpbknows@bpbcpa.com. We'll see you next time.